And we head into Studio A right now. The champs are in town. Morning, Tito.
Good morning, Tim Mize. How are you, my friend?
Cannot complain one bit.
You didn't lose all your money in Vegas, did you?
They didn't take it. They didn't want it.
They didn't want it?
I tried to give it to them. They wouldn't take it.
So is it true that you spent, like, you know, 28 consecutive hours in a gambling area?
It only felt that way. I spent a legitimate 12 consecutive hours 12 in the Bellagio Sportsbook on the first day of the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
Awesome.
You were in hog heaven then.
I was in hog heaven.
Oh,
yes,
man.
I was.
Wow.
Good time.
And, of course, the NCAA semifinals are set for tonight and championship on Monday. So.
And there's nothing quite like watching the NCAA tournament in a room where a bunch of people have a bunch of money on the line in a bunch of different realms.
Lots of scratch.
Lots of scratch, lots of cheers from just random corners of the sports book.
People maybe not in such a good way with teams that are losing.
No, my brother saw one guy in an elevator who was completely ducked out in Cal gear. Of course, Cal lost in the first game to Hawaii, which I picked, by the way, but that's neither here nor there. But it's like 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning because the game started at 9 a.m. out there.
Right.
He's on the elevator, decked out in his Cal gear. Someone says, having a bad day? Oh, my life's ruined. It's over. The lady says, well, it'll get better. God, I hope so.
Yeah, well.
What about the Michigan State people?
Well, then there's Michigan State, and that's another whole subject.
Yeah.
We have the state champions in studio today. The Lincolnwood Knights, 7th grade volleyball team. They won the Class 2A state volleyball championship a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to talk to the young ladies. We also have the principal at Lincolnwood, Kendall Elvidge. Good morning, young man.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Can I call you a young man still?
Absolutely.
Kendall was a Lancer himself. We have some fond memories of back in his playing days, but this was a special time for Lincolnwood Junior High when these young ladies did what they did.
Absolutely, it was a remarkable season, and just couldn't be any more proud of them than we are, and just collectively, athletically, academically, this is a great group of kids, and we're just so proud of everything that they've accomplished and how they've represented the school and the community, and just great group of kids.
Kendall, as principal, you have to keep an eye on so many different things, but did you kind of know that these guys were this good this year?
We knew coming in the season that they were something special. They made a run to the tournament last year, to the state tournament last year, when most of these girls were 6th graders playing on the 7th grade team, so we knew they had the potential. And so coming into the season, you saw it. You saw when they played, you saw when they were on the court, and just how they communicated with each other, worked with each other, and just made everything happen. You knew that there was potential, and when we got to the state tournament, walking into the first game, it was an atmosphere you'd never seen before. I mean, I've been to state tournaments before, but walking into a junior high volleyball atmosphere, just a lot of noise, a lot of fan noise, just every point counts back and forth. There's a lot of intensity, and watching them play through the tournament, you knew that they had the potential, but it didn't really soak in until that final point of that final game. You're like, wow, they are champions, and they really did have the ability, and it was a special night.
When you get state championship-type games in a venue and a gymnasium, whether it's basketball, volleyball, that sort of thing, there seems to be some sort of special electricity in the air, which I think you sometimes get in outdoor stadiums for football, baseball, but it's not quite the same because it's all pent up inside of a gymnasium. And when you get the noise that reverberates off the walls and you get the stands that are packed, and by the way, what a crowd Lincolnwood had there that night. And actually Roanoke Benson had a terrific crowd as well. It's just something a little bit different. And these young ladies generally don't play in front of a big crowd during the regular season.
Not like that. Yeah. And again, the energy.
Although they probably draw pretty well.
They do.
Because Lincolnwood generally draws pretty well.
They do. Yeah. They do. But the energy was just different, like you said. Yeah. And I know that played into how they played. I know that there was a lot of nerves, a lot of jitters. Even some of them said they're a little scared at first. And I think it was just that energy, that extra vibe in the gym that they don't normally play in front of. But once they settled in and they knew that they just had to play their game, there wasn't anybody stopping them.
Leslie Cowdery is the assistant coach. Leslie, would you speak with us this morning? Tell us a little bit about what it means when you have basically sixth graders playing at the seventh grade level, seventh graders playing at the eighth grade level. That generally bodes well for a program, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And these girls, minus Sydney, they've been playing together since they were in fourth grade. Coach Denny started the Spikes and Tykes program, and that year it was, you know, it's still third, fourth, and fifth. And they've been playing together since they were in fourth grade. And so when you start playing that young together, they develop a chemistry. They learn how each one of them plays together. They feed off of each other. They just, you know, they develop that chemistry that they need to be successful.
Plus they have fun.
Yes.
Sometimes you have
this
to be
group
a little,
has a lot of fun together.
you have to be a little goofy sometimes.
Yes.
But you know, when you work hard, you're allowed to have those moments, and that just builds the camaraderie.
Yeah, and they definitely, you know, they have a great balance, and they know when they really need to dig in and work hard and listen and do the things they need to do to be better. And then they also know when it's time that they can be goofy. We have to rein it in a lot of times because they're very goofy.
That's why we have coaches.
Goofy. Yeah. But, you know, we want them to have fun because it is fun. Mm-hmm. You know, sports are supposed to be fun as well as learning hard work and discipline and everything that goes along with sports. But, yeah, they have fun together.
And being good students also doesn't hurt a thing, does
yes,
it?
Yes, academically, they're all overachievers. They do extremely well, and we're very, very proud of them in that respect as well.
The Lincolnwood Knights, they are the state champions in Class 2A of the IESA 7th grade state volleyball tournament. And the IESA, they do a great job of running these tournaments. They run both 7th grade, 8th grade tournaments. They pick the venues that are just about the perfect size. Mm-hmm. I don't think you would want it any bigger than what Decatur Lutheran had. That was kind of just the right venue.
Yes, yeah. And that gym, you know, you walk in and it's very spacious and it's very huge. And so it gives you this big time atmosphere. And I think, you know, at first they get intimidated by that kind of big atmosphere. But, you know, once they settle in and kind of get the feel of the gym and the sounds and all that go on, that, you know, they did well.
I spoke to a couple of parents before the game, and we were talking about that aspect of, you know, the big tall ceiling and everything. And I said, it kind of reminds you of the scene from the movie Hoosiers where the kid hops on the kid's back and they measure the height of the basket. And then Coach, you know, Gene Hackman said, it's 10 feet.
Yeah.
The same as our gym at home, you know, and basically it's the same. Yep. It's just the court you're playing on. Yep. It's just the surrounding area that might be a little bit different.
Yes, so. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just, you know, that feel, and especially, you know, in our gym in Lincolnwood, the ceiling is obviously way lower.
Yeah.
You kind of have to play ping pong off of it whenever it hits the, you know, top of the ceiling, but they obviously didn't have that problem there. And so it makes the court feel bigger. It makes everything feel bigger when that ceiling is taller, but it also gives you a lot more room to play. So
the Knights did not get off to an extremely good start.
No.
And well, but you know, that happens in big games. Mm-hmm. And the game is always about making adjustments. And I tell you what, we need to get to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about adjustments a little bit. And we're going to talk with the Knights of Lincolnwood Junior High. And we'll do that right after these messages.
Cardinal baseball tomorrow. They count the season opener from Pittsburgh tomorrow. Live coverage 11:10. On AM 1540 and FM 106.9 in all 162 games, and hopefully the month of October on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Champs in Studio T.
Oh, we have the Lincolnwood Knights 7th grade state champion volleyball champions in studio today. We're talking with Leslie Cowdery, who is the assistant coach. And we mentioned before the break about how the Knights in the state championship game kind of got off to a rough start, and we talked about making adjustments. What was the conversation during that timeout early on in that first game? Do you remember?
Well, we just know that they, you know, Christ the King rattled off like 15 or 16 straight points. Which was just devastating to watch, because we knew that they could play better, you know, and I think at that point that was just nerves. And so I think the conversation was, you know, play your game. Mm-hmm. It's just another court. It's just a different gym. Just play, you know. And I think after that first game, they got all that nonsense out of their systems and were able to kind of rein themselves in, pull themselves together, you know, and they really came out that second game and just tore it up. I mean, they did great.
I made the comment, and acting like I knew what I was talking about, and I really didn't. But what little bit of volleyball I do know, it's a game of runs much like basketball.
Yes.
Where you can string together 10, 12 points in the blink of an eye.
Yes.
And
when it's a momentum.
Yeah, it's a momentum thing. And when you have that ability, and these guys did, you know, to get down early on, basically you call the timeout, you catch your breath, and you go back out and just do your thing.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, you know, minus winning the whole thing, that was like a great moment. But I think my proudest moment and Coach Denny's proudest moment was in that Christ the King game when they came back from completely getting slaughtered 25-7 and coming back and taking both of those next two games. And they didn't just take them. Like, they worked really, really hard. And they worked together. They didn't give up on each other. They didn't turn their backs on one another. They played as a team. And that, to me, spoke volumes for them.
How has the game advanced over the last 10 years or so? Leaps and bounds?
Tremendously. I mean, even from when
especially
I was...
Especially at this level?
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, when I was in junior high, the thought of them running... They run the same offense as our high school, as our varsity. So as 12 and 13-year-olds, they're running the same offense as, you know, a varsity squad. And I cannot even imagine me at that age playing that. I mean, we were just lucky to get the ball over, you know. And so to see this level of play in this age group, it's remarkable.
That's great. The state champions in Class 2A in 7th grade. We're going to talk to some of these ladies now. Who's first? We're going to let you introduce yourself because you don't have your uniform numbers on, and I have the roster in front of me, so my memory is not what it used to be. So introduce yourself, first and last name, okay? And then we'll go from there.
My name is Maggie McClelland.
And Maggie, tell us about your experience at the state tournament. How was it the first time you walked into a gymnasium that was packed like that?
Well, I was super nervous. I had butterflies, deer bugs. I had to go inside the locker room with my friend Riley and just jump and scream to get all of it out.
So you had to burn some excess adrenaline, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay. But did it work?
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously. Who's the goofball on this team?
Me.
Oh, there you go. Really? You're the one that
the
keeps things rather light?
Yep.
There was no hesitation there.
No, I know. There's no hesitation. That's right. I mean, they immediately, everybody pointed. So what sort of things do you do to keep things light besides just telling jokes? I mean, are you a prankster?
I'm not that good at jokes, actually.
Okay. Oh, okay. So there's no stand-up comedian routine in your future?
Nope. Okay. I smile a lot.
Okay.
And I like giving people hugs and like team spirit going. I want to see smile on everybody's faces.
Mm-hmm. Was there a period in that state championship game that you were worried?
The end of the game. It was real close. And
Roanoke Benson was making a little run there at the end.
Yeah. And when she hit the net, all that relief just went out of me. I felt like crying, but the tears just wouldn't come out.
Yeah. Well, you were just so happy. You had to process it first. Huh? So once you had won the game, and once you were able to process things, and you went through the medallion presentation, the trophy presentation, did it kind of sink in a little bit what you guys had accomplished?
It still hasn't sunk in. I feel like it was just another game, actually. I can't, like, imagine me winning state still. So it just feels like another game.
Which probably is good in many ways, because now you've been through the experience, and when you get into big game situations again, it's just another game. So, all right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who's next? Good morning.
Morning.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Sydney Glick.
There's Sydney Glick.
Yes.
Sydney's always got a smile on her face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. How come... What is it about her that makes her such a goofball?
I don't really even know. She just, like, cracks everybody up. Like, mm-hmm. She'll, like, I don't know, she'll just be like, guys, guess what? And everybody will just start laughing. Like, it's just, like, I don't even know what makes everybody laugh. Like,
she was bragging about how you take more selfies than any other team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you've got all this evidence that of who's actually at the practice and at the games, right?
Yeah. Right. Like, if, like, someone's gone, you'd be like, okay, they're missing somebody in that picture because that was, like, from 2 days ago. Like, I don't know, you can tell exactly who's at every single practice, basically, too. They're just like, okay, Lexi's not at this practice today because she's not in the selfie or something like that.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about the season. When did you, or was there a time in the season, Sydney, that you realized that, gosh, you know, we're pretty good?
Well, like, of course, like,
and you don't want to brag about it, but you have to have the confidence. Yeah. You know, we're pretty good.
Well, I mean, like, of course, in, like, Christ the King, because, I mean, like, that was, like, the biggest win, I feel like, in our entire season. Like, whoever won that game, I feel like it was good, like, Wednesday.
And Christ the King, by the way, is out of Springfield, and they are traditionally a very top-notch program in many, many sports.
Yeah.
So when you beat Christ the King, that was kind of...
Yeah, that was like, it's it. We're winning state, basically. But, like, it didn't really sink in until, like, I don't know, like, the next day, like, on Tuesday when we had to play for state.
But a lot of times, you know, you win a big game like that, there's a little bit of a letdown. Did Coach talk about maybe not letting, you know, getting let down after such a big semifinal win?
No, I don't really think so. Just kind of, like, play your game and just go out there and win, basically.
And what goes through your mind when you first run out on the floor and you see this, you know, cheering mass of humanity? And I mean, the sound was deafening. It really was deafening.
Oh, yeah.
Did you kind of have goosebumps as you walked out on the floor?
Well, no, I kind of walked out. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, it's just, like, really loud. Like, this has never really happened before. Like, if, like, I don't know, if Coach were to say something, I'd be like, what? Like, I cannot understand her in, like, this area.
So you wouldn't complain if you got a chance to experience that sort of thing again, huh?
Oh, no.
All right.
Never.
That's good. That's terrific. Who's next? Who's our next lucky contestant? There we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you are?
Kaylin Payne.
Yes, you are. You're one of the big gals in the middle. The one? Big Orange. They call you Big Orange, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. How did that come about? Do I need to? Can we talk about it? I mean,
It was last year at our sectional game. One of the parents in the stands when we were playing decided to call me Big Orange, like, every time I, like, would hit the ball or something. Yeah, from the other team.
Oh, from the other team?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay. So the name stuck.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure being one of probably the tallest player on the team. A lot's expected out of you, right?
Yeah, but, like... And, like, there's always people to back me up, and, like, we know, like, when to go to the ball and, like, who has it. And we have good communication.
Are you comfortable in big game situations after the experience that you've had now? Do you think you'll be a lot more comfortable?
I think it will be a lot more comfortable now. Like, at the beginning, I was kind of iffy, but at the end, like, I wasn't very nervous anymore.
Compare the nervousness at the first game of the state tournament versus the state championship game. What was different about those two games?
I mean, there was a lot more people at the state championship game, but I had, like, a lot more confidence after those games because, like, we played Christ the King and we did really good, and I knew that we could pull it through.
Christ the King is if I can make a comparison to those who remember Staunton playing Hales Franciscan, it was kind of that kind of a matchup, okay? I mean, Christ the King is very good at everything, it seems to be. And they're such a great rival, I think, with teams in the area. And defeating a team like that is terrific. As you go forward in your career now, there's a little bit of extra confidence?
Yeah, there is. And I hope that we can go, like, every year and that we can keep doing what we're doing.
And, of course, Coach is going to remind you that it takes even more work to – now that you've got to this point, it takes even more work to stay there, right?
Yeah, they're still going to push us really hard and let us get there.
Was there a game, one game, one play that you might remember during the entire season that kind of turned things around during the regular season?
I don't think there was really one big play, but I think just everything came together.
Mm-hmm. And there's a comfort playing with people you've been playing with for a long time.
Yeah, I've played with them for a long time. And
kind of a mind-reading thing, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it easier. So, yeah. And when you were in line there and getting your medallion and the presentation of the state trophy championship, were there, you know, fleeting thoughts going through your head that, like, what in the heck did we just do?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, and I still haven't really believed it. It's starting to set in, but not really.
And then you get to go back and be students, right?
Yeah.
You know, well, you won the state championship, but now it's a test.
Right? Yeah.
Welcome to life. That's how it works. That's right. That's right. All right. Is that what happened?
Yeah, we did.
Science test the next day. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. That's just how life works, you know. You make this accomplishment, and then you have to go back to just being a normal person. So congratulations.
Thanks.
And who's our next lucky contestant? Good morning.
Good morning.
And you are?
Lexi Milberg.
Okay, Lexi. Is Lexi the quiet one of the bunch?
Yeah.
Is she really?
No.
No?
She's like quiet out in public. When she's in the group, it's like...
Oh, Cassie's loud.
Okay. So, Lexi, tell us about the experience you had, what it meant to you to be a part of this successful run.
I don't know. It was just unbelievable.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from your family and friends?
Way too many congratulations. And a lot of hugs. And I've gotten cards. And... I don't know. It's all that.
You know, when you put this sort of thing in perspective, there are a lot of different athletic teams and a lot of different sports, scholastic bowl participation, band, drama, all sorts of things, and a lot of young people involved in all sorts of different extracurricular activities. And to be able to compete at a high level and be successful at a high level, you know, that's a very small percentage of people that get to do that, and you're part of that. Do you guys realize that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So what was one of the first things that Coach Denny said to you guys after things calmed down enough to where she was, you know, able to actually talk to you? Do you remember?
I think that she was very proud of us, and congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking forward to next year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Excited.
How much work do you do over the summer?
A lot.
And why do you do that?
To get better.
To get better. That's right. That's exactly right. All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Who's next? Now, this is the quiet one?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we get you to at least say your name?
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be tough, folks, but we're going to get her to do it. And you are?
Cassie Krager!
Cassie, you don't need to be so shy. You're not shy around these guys, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you're around these guys, so don't be shy. Don't be shy. So tell me what it felt like to run out onto the floor here and you see a screaming mass of humanity on that state championship game. Not only, you know, from Lakewood, but Roanoke Benson had a packed house. So it was a deafening roar in that gymnasium. What did it feel like when you ran out on the floor? Remember?
I was really nervous.
How did you deal with the nerves?
I don't really know.
Okay. Did you talk to anybody or have to, you know, pull somebody, one of your teammates aside and says, you know,
well, Maggie just kept, like, I don't know, okay. Just being Maggie?
the goofball. Yeah, you know, you got to have those kind of people. After you got off to kind of a rough start there, were there thoughts in your mind like, oh, gosh, we can do better than this?
Yeah. The second game, I knew we were going to, like, I got over there in the huddle, and I told everybody we're going to win this game because, yeah.
And it wasn't a bragging thing. It was just a confidence thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand the difference between bragging and confidence, and there's kind of a fine line, but when you're confident that you can do things, you know, the mind, your mindset is in the proper place, and that's very, very important for not only athletics, but every endeavor in life, to be in the right mindset. So is this one of the greatest experiences you ever had?
Yeah.
Would you like to do it again?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you would. Okay. Well, I know that you don't like to talk a whole lot, so we're going to pass the microphone along. And you are?
Emmy Weller.
Emmy, good morning.
Good morning.
Emmy, you always have a smile on your face as well, it seems like.
Yep.
So you must be a rather happy person.
Yes.
So if she's the goofball, what can we consider you to be?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Just a hard worker?
The sweetest creature
on the face of the earth. There you go. All right. Always smiling. Tell me about, you know, your reaction once the game is done, you're back with your family. What sort of things were said?
Like my father, he kept saying congratulations, and then like I started crying, and everybody just gave me a big hug, and it was just awesome.
Was it hard to believe that you actually did it?
Yes.
Was it really?
Yes.
But you had the confidence to do it?
Yes.
Okay. And after you getting that first game, you know, winning that first game, was there a good amount of confidence that, okay, let's not take this any further. Let's get it done in game number two.
Yeah, because, like, we're super competitive, and so we have to, like, we have to try to win, and I don't know.
you mentioned being super competitive, so if you're super competitive, these people are your best friends, but you'd still like to beat their brains out in some sort of a drill or a competition, right?
Yes.
Okay. that makes sense, though. That makes you a great competitor. That makes you a great competitor. Was there a point in the season where, and you had a great season, great record, 25 wins, I think 25-2, something like that. But was there a point in the season where things just weren't going quite right, and you're thinking, oh gosh, you know? Or did you have confidence the whole season?
I had confidence the whole season.
Okay, that's great. That's great. When the you get in between games, you know, after you won the first game, you get to the huddle. What did Coach Denny tell you guys prior to the second game?
I don't really know.
You don't remember, do you?
No.
Okay, that's all right. That's kind of normal. And talk about the reception. Coming home and the fire trucks and all that kind of thing. Was that kind of neat?
Yeah, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. I had a blast. Everyone was happy, tearful, and everything.
And now it takes that much more work just to stay where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get there, it takes a lot of work. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You guys were great champions, and you represented the school and our communities very, very well. And you are to be commended for an outstanding job. And we look forward to your careers as another year in junior high, and then, of course, high school. So congratulations to the Knights. And is there room in the trophy case for that thing?
We made a special one
just for us. Oh, hey there.
they made a special one just for you guys?
Yep.
Well, that's great. That's terrific.
Okay, I have to say this.
Okay, go ahead and say
okay,
it. Since you're the kind of official spokesman here.
So last year, we came up with a name. I kind of got it going.
Okay.
We called ourselves the Dream Crushers.
The Dream Crushers. Okay. How did that come about?
Well, I forgot, but it was either Emmy who got it started. Okay, I got it started. And this year at regionals, sectionals, and finals, at the end of the game, we'd get in a circle, and I'd stand in the middle, and I'd go, "Who are we? Dream Crushers. One more time. Dream Crushers."
Kind of like Ghostbusters. Yeah. Right? Yeah, okay.
They don't get it, but we do.
Well, yeah, we get it. Okay. It's a generational thing, so I guess they'll have to wait for this Ghostbuster sequel to come out here or the next version of it. So the Dream Crushers.
Yep.
And that's on a T-shirt now, I bet, right?
Yes, actually, we do have a T-shirt that says Dream Crushers at the bottom.
And I bet there's going to be a lot of parents wearing Dream Crushers T-shirts as well next year, right?
I hope so.
Ladies, congratulations. It's terrific. And, you know, it's terrific not only for the school district, but for the county and for our listening area. You did a terrific job. And, you know, not only did you have success athletically, but you're having success academically, and that, you know, means a lot. And you'll do great things in your lives. Congratulations. It was terrific. Mr. Elvidge, if I could talk to you for just a moment. As principal, you know, you know these kids. You get a chance to be around them every day. And you've had success, and even in your career as an athlete. What did it mean to you when, you know, the fire trucks came roaring through Farmersville and Raymond, and the caravan pulled into the school there? It was a late night, but everybody was pretty darn excited.
We were. It just overwhelming. I mean, I've been in state championship game in baseball in junior high. We finished just in as runner up.
Yeah.
To come back and to be the principal. And just to be around these kids every day and to see them just play and have fun and just enjoy the game and have a passion for the game, but still go out there and just be goofy and dance around the court and have a good time, but still play with this competitive edge that they wanted to be champions, and they made that dream come true. And it was amazing feeling. And for, like I said, watching these kids for years, I mean, Cassie's my neighbor, so I've known her since she was 3 years old. And watching Cassie and Maddie and Skyler play volleyball in the front yard for the last 10 years, there's a reason why they're good. And that's why. They're out there day in, day out, playing volleyball in the front yard, having fun, just like we did as kids playing baseball.
Yeah. Let me ask you about Coach Denny. Give me some comments about her and her dedication and just the job that she does.
She does an unbelievable job. She loves the game. She loves the game. But
she
more
was a heck of a volleyball heck player for the Lancers.
Heck of a volleyball player herself. She loves the game, but more importantly, she loves the kids. Yeah. And I think, and that can be said for both Coach Cowdery and Coach Denny. They love the game, and they have a passion for the game, and they have an understanding of the game, an understanding that you and I don't have.
Right, right.
But the most important thing is they love the girls.
Yeah.
And they do it for the right reasons.
And you've stuck together. And there's so much to be said about kids that have played together for a long time, because you really do know each other's moves. You really do know what each other's thinking. And Kimberly had these kids early and was putting this into them early, and it's paid off. So.
Yeah, she's put a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of herself into the program, working with these kids from kindergarten camps to spikes and tykes into the third, fourth, and fifth grade level, and then just being with these girls day in, day out, and getting them to where they're at. It's an unbelievable run. And Terry, you've had the opportunity to get to know six personalities here.
Yeah.
You take that times three with the other seventh graders and the eighth graders that are involved in the program, and you see these personalities. This is why I love what I do.
Yeah.
Just these moments with these kids and these memories and getting to be around them on a daily basis gives me the energy to keep going. And I know I can speak for Coach Cowdery on the same thing. Her position in our district, she loves the kids because of the personalities that they bring and the energy they bring to the school.
And they can never take it away from you. They can never take away the fact that you were state champions. Never. Never. That's the great thing. And congratulations. We're going to let you guys go. I know you. I appreciate it, you know, coming around and being part of the sports show today. It took a little extra effort. Mr. Elvidge, thank you, sir.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
We'll see you in baseball.
See you in baseball season.
See you in baseball. You'll sit in with me.
Absolutely.
Okay. That sounds good. The state champions from Spike and Tykes to Dream Crushers. State champions, IESA, 7th grade, 2A state champs of volleyball, the Lincolnwood Knights. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more on Sports Saturday in just a moment.
Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, David Jenkins and T. Totes. And fellas, the Redbirds open up the season mañana.
It's about darn time.
Oh, boy.
About time.
Hey.
Hey, there he is.
Hi, Dave.
Turn on the microphone.
Hi. For the first time this morning. I am here.
Hi. Good to see you.
Cardinals are tomorrow.
They are. 11:10, we'll have them. AM 1540, FM 106.9.
All 162 games, by the way.
How about that?
Yeah.
And hopefully, October playoffs. Baseball.
October baseball. That's what it makes it special.
That's a long ways off,
isn't
it?
That's a long way, yeah. And you got to stay healthy, and you got to have some breaks. And yeah. And we're not talking about broken bones.
They've had that.
They've had plenty of that, so.
Last year, of course, they were ravaged by injuries, and this year in spring training, Peralta gets hurt, out for half the year. The guy they acquired to replace Peralta pulls his hammy in the last spring training game, so Ruben Tejada will start the year on the disabled list.
Yeah. Next stuff happens. Stuff happens.
Seems to happen a lot to the Cardinals
anymore.
Yeah,
it does. It does. But actually, if you take a note across Major League Baseball, every team suffers those types of injuries in spring training. And that's, you know, that's part of spring training. Get the kinks worked out early on. So hopefully, you know, month or 6 weeks into the season, you've got a lineup that you can stick with most of the year. So it very seldom works that way, but that's what you're hoping. So,
and it's not going out on a real much of a limb, but if the Cardinals have the type of injuries this year that they had last year, they're not going to win 100 games.
No, they're not. No. That was such an anomaly.
It really was.
They're not going to make the postseason if they have the injuries this year they had last year.
I tend to agree with you. I think that would, you know, you can pull it off once in a while.
Yeah.
But the once in a whiles don't come along very
right.
often.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they had historically great pitching.
Yeah.
And the odds of having that 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they could pitch just as good, but the odds of them having the breaks and having, you know, the stranded runners and...
Certainly the addition of Mike Leake will help the starting rotation. Leake doesn't walk many people. He eats up a lot of innings. You know, he used to pitch in a band box where they hit a lot of home runs, and he didn't allow many home runs.
No, he didn't.
I think he's going to be a great fit for the Cardinal pitching staff.
The disadvantage for Leake, oddly enough, at the start of the season, is going to be his infield defense. Because he's a ground ball pitcher. Yeah. And right now, it looks like he's got the worst infield in baseball defensively.
It does look that way.
Yeah.
It does look that way.
They just, a week ago had 5 errors in a game.
Yeah. I mean, Carpenter, not a great defensive third baseman. No. Jed Jerko's not even a shortstop, but that's where he's going to be.
Colton Wong. Thank God they've got him. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Colton Wong's got great range. He's probably the best defensive infielder they have.
I don't mean this. I love Colton Wong, so I don't mean this as a disrespect to Mr. Wong. But he has a lot of Tyler Green in him.
Just from
the standpoint, he will make the spectacular play.
He does.
Then that two-hopper right at him, right through the wickets.
He does. But his bat is at least enough to save him
save
his spot.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you were talking about Mike Leake, T, and I think on paper, the Cardinals pitching staff is better than it was a year ago.
I do, too. I agree with you. I think it's as solid, if not more solid, the starting rotation, especially. And, you know, the Jaime Garcia is kind of a roll of the dice kind of thing. And, you know, we said, well, how many games will it be before Jaime's had problems? You know, and he has such a contorted way of pitching. When we hear the word mechanics thrown around a lot, you know, he basically works against his body. But that's why he gets the crazy movement
where
Yadi Molina can't even catch it.
This is probably the last year for Jaime with the Cardinals. This is the final. It was the option year. It's the final year of his contract. So,
well, after he wet the bed last year in the playoffs, I wish he wasn't back this year. But
they could always trade him for what value he may bring, little value he may bring.
Well, you know, if he's healthy through the season,
he's filthy.
Yeah, he will have some value, and he could be. A person that come trade deadline.
Could be
on the block. So.
Especially should, and I don't think this will be the case, but should the Cardinals happen to be out of it by the trade deadline, who knows? Mm. I mean, they could.
But see, that's the tricky thing with Garcia to me, though. If he's healthy and pitching well, you're not going to trade him because if he's healthy and pitching well, he's a lockdown lefty and maybe one of the best left-handed starters in the game. But yet, if he's not pitching well and he's hurt, then he has no trade value.
But John Mozeliak has this uncanny ability.
He does.
To judge talent.
Yeah.
You can say what you want to say about the Cardinals, and we kind of laugh at the Cardinals with their medical reports sometimes and stuff like that, but Mozeliak knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's got a good read on things. So
if he's not the best executive in baseball, to use one of Tony La Russa's phrases, he's tied for first.
Tied for first.
That dude's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, he really is. The Cardinals have a terrific front office and they utilize it. And it's about the execution on the field, and you've got to keep people healthy in order to do that. So,
and that's what the Cardinal season really comes down to. Unfortunately, will the manager use all 25 guys on his roster this year and not have them burned out by the time September rolls around? That's really, to me, what the Cardinal season has boiled down to. Talent-wise, they're fine. They've got the players.
Will the manager keep
them healthy?
Has a little Dusty Baker in him,
Oh,
you know?
My goodness. He does. He really does. And that's not good.
No. You know, the pitching staff was on fumes last year. Mm. It just was. And, boy, you got to be fresh going in. A lot of things have to happen. You know, you got to survive the long, drawn-out season. But you have to get hot at the right time. You have to be healthy at the right time. And you have to be fresh at the right time or fresh enough. And Cardinals just didn't have it last year. So,
I mean, the bullpen is better this year. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Matheny's only going to use Segrist, Maness, and Rosenthal.
Right. Even with Walden being on the DL to start the year, it's a lot better.
Which is a surprise to no one.
No.
He throws with both feet. He's like a racehorse. Yes. Both his feet are off the ground.
I don't know how the guy pitches.
Well, he doesn't.
Don't they consider that like a crow hop in softball?
I heard him say during one of the spring broadcasts that there was some team that actually sent video of Walden to the commissioner's office saying that he was pitching illegally. Because he was off the rubber, and they said, no, it's fine.
His
according to the rule, though, he is. Yeah.
His is not as bad as I think it's Carter Capps, who is off the ground. He's getting in trouble. Walden, believe it or not, Walden is fine. He's within the rules, they've said. But there is a pitcher, I'm pretty sure it's Carter Capps, where he is literally...
He leaps off the mound, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. So I think he's been talked to by Major League Baseball. Of course, he's also out with Tommy John surgery. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, it's like you should probably have a foot on the ground.
Yeah.
With that type of
That push-off thing, you know?
Exactly.
Drive towards the plate.
You mentioned the curl hop, though. Some of those old-school softball players, they'd be 6 feet off the mound or the rubber by the time
they have that circle out there. They're outside the circle by the time they deliver the pitch, you know? You're going, how does that happen? Man,
no chance to hit that thing.
The guy's got short legs, and he's outside the circle. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Hey, remember that outfielder I told you about that you should remember his name?
Hazelbroker.
Hazelbaker. Close. Jeremy Hazelbaker. Yes. He made the roster.
How do you spell that? Just carefully. Like it sounds.
Hazelbaker,
yeah. Okay.
Jeremy Hazelbaker.
They're carrying six outfielders, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Well, he made the club because Tejada went down.
Right. Yeah. Your starting shortstop gets hurt, so you replace him with a corner outfielder.
Fifth outfielder.
Makes sense. I'm glad Hazelbaker made it. That's cool. He could be valuable. But where are the at-bats going? You got six outfielders. You got no backup shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Garcia.
You got no backup shortstop.
I mean, Greg Garcia is going to be
And Okendo's out. So
to me, that is devastating. That
awful.
Might hurt them more than anything. A year where you've got no natural shortstop, you're going to have Holiday playing first base. You need the secret weapon there teaching defense.
Is he really going to play first base today?
I think he's going to play tomorrow.
Sounds like it.
Really? Really?
Sounds like it. They're going full steam ahead with that.
He's in my projected opening day lineup.
Oh, okay.
What was it the other day?
Well, Dave, you're pretty accurate about this stuff.
I've got it. I typed it up.
Okay.
I've got Carpenter at third leading off, Piscotty batting second and right, Holiday at first batting third. I've got Grichuk batting fourth and center, Jerko batting fifth at short, Tommy Pham in left batting sixth, Yadier Molina catching batting seventh, Colton Wong at second batting eighth, and Adam Wainwright batting ninth. I think that's... I don't necessarily agree with all of those, but I think that's what's going to happen.
And David,
because they're facing a lefty, that's
why. And David Freese will come up in the bottom of the ninth and drive in the game-winning run.
Oh, don't say it. Why'd you have to say it? It might be true, but you didn't have to say it.
Will he do it off Rosenthal?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No one else pitches the ninth inning.
That's just true.
It'll be cool to see the Freezer back in the National League.
Yes,
Central.
It will. And wait till he comes back to St. Louis.
Big ovation.
Oh, my gosh.
Huge.
Yeah, yeah. And
he might get more than one.
Oh, he'll get a standing ovation every at-bat in the first game he's in.
Probably
so. Yeah.
So
why wouldn't you?
Instead of the reaction Jason Hayward will get when he comes back.
Yeah.
180 from that.
Fans will stand up and turn around.
Ooh, that'd be nice. Go high school style. Get the newspapers out and turn around.
But you can't do that in Wisconsin now?
Oh, yeah, that's right. No fun in Wisconsin. Yeah. Bad sportsmanship there.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Come on. Give me a break. What was it you said they outlawed saying? Airball?
Yeah, you can't,
you can't say airball in Wisconsin?
Airball anymore at Wisconsin high school sporting events.
Wow.
Or freshman.
Wow.
He's a freshman. She's a freshman.
It's like that. If you... In a high school sporting event, if your student section, short of profanity, isn't allowed to basically, do what they want, there's a problem there.
Isn't there a Second Amendment? First Amendment?
I don't think
First Amendment, not Second Amendment.
Second
Amendment. We don't want to talk. In the First Amendment?
Yes, First Amendment. Yes.
There's a lot of discussion about the Second Amendment, but it's the First Amendment I want to talk about.
Second Amendment in schools generally don't come up with
the same conversation. Absolutely not.
Speaking of the Second Amendment, did you see that? I guess there's like 50,000 signatures on a petition to allow open carry at the Republican National Convention.
That's dangerous.
That seems like a good idea. Let's get potential future next president of the United States up there talking with 50,000 armed people.
Wow.
Secret Service said no, by the way. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, how about the NCAA?
Fantastic.
Great. I think it's a great Final Four.
It is.
With the exception of Syracuse.
Well, I know you don't. I know. But, Syracuse did what they had to do to get there.
They did. And, that's the beauty of the tournament. With Michigan State getting knocked out, it opened the door in the bottom side of that region for somebody with a double digit seed to make a run and give Syracuse credit.
Yeah.
I can't believe they came back and beat Virginia.
Yeah.
That was a phenomenal. You know, there's been a lot of phenomenal collapses.
Yes. Yes.
In this tournament, there's been a lot more games lost than won. How well, Northern Iowa managed to lose to Texas A&M is still beyond.
If you look back at the entire season, it had a record number of number one ranked teams in the AP college basketball poll throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
You had the kiss of death if you were ranked number one. Yep. You were automatically going to get knocked off, it seemed like, at least in a week or two if you had the number one ranking. It's just been that kind of year. So you really can't be surprised that Syracuse is in the Final Four. Boeheim, you know, he runs that zone and they run it well.
And if Boeheim hadn't gotten himself suspended for the first nine games of the year, the record would have been a lot better and they wouldn't have been on that proverbial bubble. But Villanova, Oklahoma, that's the first national semifinal tonight. That's a great ball game.
That's probably the best game of the whole tournament.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, Buddy Hield is nothing short of spectacular.
Great story. Great story, because he came in as a freshman, and I don't think he was a starter. I think Coach actually kind of put him in his place, worked on his game, and now he's probably the best player in college basketball.
And AP named Valentine from Michigan State as the player of the year, but I thought Hield really...
That surprised me because Valentine got hurt early in the conference year and missed a decent amount of time. So, yeah, I really was surprised by that as well, that Buddy Hield didn't win the award.
But Hield's still playing. He's playing in the Final Four. And
Valentine's team
not.
Lost as a two seed in the first round, and Hield's still going. Yeah.
Well, and that's also not the Wooden Award winner either.
True, that was the AP Award.
Yeah.
But generally, they're the same.
They're pretty close, generally.
Of course, for Villanova, they got Jalen Brunson. The Lincoln Shire product, of course, from Illinois.
56 points? Getting to put 56 in?
State championship game. And Illinois was the second choice.
Yes. Darn.
Is he on their team this year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's for him. Oh, yeah. Okay. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
A lot of fun
he is a player.
Yes, he is.
What's he going to do in the NBA?
Think about it, he's had a pretty good run. He played in three straight title games, played against Jabari Parker his sophomore year, played against Jahlil Okafor his junior year, won the thing his senior year. Now he's in the Final Four. That's a pretty good four-year run.
What are you going to do for an encore?
That works.
I think he was Mr. Basketball in Illinois.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And he should have been.
Oh,
if it wasn't him last year, I don't know who it would have been.
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome.
He is fun to watch.
That's right.
And he's headed to the NBA. I'm almost sure. At some point.
Anybody but Carolina. That's my mantra. Anybody but Carolina.
Hey, get your snackage out and let's watch basketball. Yeah,
absolutely. Sports Saturday is done. T, again, we thank the state champs for coming in.
The Knights of Lincolnwood Junior High, the 7th grade Class 2A state volleyball champions. Thanks, guys.
All right. For T Tote, David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done. On your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, this is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. 46 degrees, wind advisory in effect till 6 o'clock this evening.